We're thinking this morning particularly about the light and Jesus, the light of the world. And in Psalm 119, we read these words. How I love your law. I meditated on all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're going to read the reading from Matthew chapter 5, including those words that we've just seen on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not a smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Dear Lord, help us to spread your fragrance wherever we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be the radiance of yours. Dear God, please shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with will feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine as to be the light to others, the light of Jesus will be all from you, and none of it will be from ourselves. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us praise you in the way that you love best, by shining on those around us. Amen.
In the reading we had earlier, Jesus was thinking about hiding things. He says, supposing you have a lamp to give you light in the darkness, would you hide it under a bowl? No, they laughed. That would be silly, wouldn't it? No one does that. You put it where everyone could see it, The whole room will be full of light. Quite right, says Jesus. Everyone is pleased to see the light. And then he said, you can be like light for the whole world. How can we be like light, they replied. When you do good things, everyone is pleased, just as they are when they see the light when it's dark. And then they thank God that you are kind and loving. A world full of happiness. So do what is right and be light for the whole world. I wonder how you feel about the dark. If you've been in situations where it's been totally dark, perhaps you've been camping somewhere that's quite remote with no light at all. You know how disorientating it can be. A couple of years ago, I foolishly decided at the end of a shift at the gym that I would take some filing to an office which was located at the far end, and I had to cross a room to get to the office. And I thought, well, I won't bother to put a light on. I know the way to get there. I'll just walk down and find the room. I did put the light on when I got to the room. Obviously, I need to get into the filing cabinet. What I didn't realize is that in the room I had to cross were two wooden benches across the room. So consequently, I went straight over the benches, skinning my shins, bending my glasses. It's an experience that I would not easily forget. And every time I went there in future, I made sure I put the light on before I went into that room. And even the smallest amount of light can make a difference to the darkness, can't it? If you're in a very dark place, simply by striking a match can almost illuminate the whole room. For the Jews living in Jesus' time, all they had was a small lamp holder. It was a pottery bowl filled with some oil with a simple wick on the side. For us, it's so much easier, isn't it? You know, we can just go to the end of the room and turn the light on, and immediately we have light. A couple of years ago, I had the pleasure of going to Norway, a place which in the summer has almost continuous daylight. But in the winter, it's the reverse. People living in total darkness. Obviously, they have artificial light there. But if they go outside their houses, it's continually dark. And they discovered this was a real issue for people living there, particularly those who suffered from a lack of light. So they invested a lot of money in their health system and bought resorts in Spain and Greece. And when people go to the doctors in Norway, suffering with depression or through a lack of light, they can't cope, then they send them, free of charge, paid by the government, to these resorts. Not sure it's something that we could afford in this country, but it enables people for a couple of weeks at least to be in a well-lit situation and benefit from the light. We all enjoy being out in the sunshine and in the light, don't we? But it's so easy for us to just accept light as it is. I was hoping there'd be lots of children here this morning, but I'm going to grab the children that are, and I might need to grab some adults as well and some of the teenagers to come and give us a hand, because we're going to try and create some light simply with some pieces of foil. Thank you. Anyone else? I might have to randomly choose you if you don't come and... there we go. Thank you. What do you think we're going to need to create light with this?
A match.
So if I give you one of these as well. Imagine that's you. Not particularly bright at the moment. I'm not suggesting you're not bright, but that is not particularly bright. So I'm going to give you one each of those. Now, do you think with those two elements we're going to create some light? What else do you think we might need? Of course it's safe. This is safe. Now, how do you think we're going to make the connection between the battery and the bulb? Any ideas? No, I have nothing else to give you. That is all you're going to get. So how do you think you're going to make that light shine? Put one end of the foil on the bottom of the battery, the other end of the foil to touch the bulb, and then put the bottom of the bulb on the top of the battery. Well, we have light. Wonderful, isn't it? Not very bright, but if it was really dark in here, then you would be able to see quite a lot, I think. So what do you think we have in this arrangement now? We have a bowl, us. We have the foil, the connection. And we have the battery, the power source. And that's really a story of our relationship with Jesus, isn't it? Because if we imagine that Jesus is the source of the power, in order for us to be lit, in order for him to shine through us, we need to have that connection. And if our lives are connected to Jesus, the power source, then he can shine through us. It's not simply through what we learn through the Bible, being able to talk to people about that, but it's the way in which we demonstrate it in our lives. We have to work at it, don't we? It doesn't just happen. You can go sit down for a bit and then we'll come back and do something else. Yes, brilliant. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. I think they deserve that. So Jesus wants us to be lights for him. And sometimes we know we don't actually glow like light bulbs. We don't shine brightly. And Jesus is here talking about the light that comes from him. And when we put our trust and our faith in him, and when we follow him, then that light shines through us. Not only did he say, I am the light of the world, but he also said, you are the light of the world. Early in the week, I went to the parish church, St. Mary of Charity, and I took some pictures of the stained glass windows. I'd never really looked at them in any detail before, and even though it was a fairly dull day, you can see how beautifully they're illuminated by the light shining through them. Some of them were interesting scenes from the life of Jesus, and I thought, here is this place right on our doorstep. I've been in there lots of times, but I've never really appreciated these windows. And it's remarkable, isn't it, that they still are there. Lots of stained glasses has disappeared from churches, and so we can no longer appreciate these beautiful pictures. Not only are they beautiful glasswork, but they also tell the story of Jesus. A reminder to those going into that church of what Jesus has done. There are a couple there that tell the story of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Jesus rising from the dead. And there was one other picture that I wanted to show you many years ago when I was probably a bit younger than some of you, and even when I was your age. In the lower hall below, there was a picture of Jesus, the light of the world. This particular picture. It wasn't in colour, it was in black and white, it was just a copy, but it hung for years in the lower hall, and then when I think the lower hall became more used, it got moved to the room just here. But it portrays Jesus, the light of the world, standing, knocking at a door. And if you look closely at the picture, you will see that there's no handle on the door. And it tells us that Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. Jesus won't force his way in. Jesus won't come in unless we invite him to come in. And that's a reminder that Jesus wants to come and illuminate our lives. I'm going to do another little exercise with the children and the youngsters, if you want to come up again, and some of the adults as well, be good, thank you. Right, so what I'm going to do, give you one of these, get the pots apart. And we're going to fill these pots with soil. And when we talk about darkness and light, this reminds us of perhaps darkness, doesn't it? Because there's no light actually going to penetrate to the bottom of these pots once they're filled with soil. And if you're a gardener or a grower of any sort, you'll know you don't plant your seed at the bottom of the pot, because the chances are, before the light actually gets to it, if it ever does, that seed is going to rot and be of no good at all. So what I want you to do is just push one of the seeds into the soil, but not too deeply, just so it's covered by the earth. What are we hoping for with these seeds in these pots, do you think? We're going to hope that something's going to grow through and appear, aren't we? So which way do you think it's going to grow? Upwards, that's it, yeah. And why do you think it's going to grow up? Because of the light, yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's going to search for the light. And in a sense, there's lots of people in our world today who are in this situation where they are living in darkness. And yet, they are searching, aren't they? They're searching for something, some kind of truth in their life. So they're literally just below the surface. And all they need to know is the love of the Lord Jesus in order to be exposed to the light that he offers each one of us. Are we all done? Yeah. Brilliant. Right. Okay. You can take those away if you like. And what we'll do over the next few weeks, we'll get some progress reports on how they're doing, and hopefully we'll have something growing. So how do you think Jesus was able to convince people of who he was? Do you think it was his words alone? So what did he do to change people's minds about him? Was it the way he dealt with people? The way he was willing to go and meet with people who weren't particularly liked by the religious leaders of the time? We heard last week of Zacchaeus, of lepers, of the man with the unclean spirit. All these were people who ordinary people would not have approached, as well as ordinary people as well. Jesus was willing to go into those situations and demonstrate through what he did who he was. And he calls us, as those who put our trust in him, to shine not through the words we say, but also through what we do. When you commit yourself to belonging to something, then you become someone who's being scrutinized. People expect you to be doing something, some kind of action. And that's true for us as Christians. But we don't do it alone, do we? We don't do it in our own strength. We do it because we trust Jesus, we believe in him, and we have him as the one we can fall back on through his word, through our prayers. People all around us will observe the way we live our lives. And when we say we're Christians, they often take a more critical look. And our lifestyle is the most powerful indicator of whether Jesus Christ is real in us and relevant to our daily experiences. Our actions speak louder than our words very often. When others watch, they rarely do so because they are supportive or hostile. More often, their motivation is to see what works for us, because they too are searching for viable answers to life and the questions and pressures it throws up. Christian witnesses that reflect God's faithfulness and presence glorify him and create hope in a world that's looking to find a way out of the darkness. We live in a dark world, don't we? There's nothing so dark as when the lights go out. You may have seen on the news months ago during the Syrian crisis, during the Syrian war, the conflict there, of those who had been made homeless, who were having to live in holes in the ground, very often with no light at all or very little light. There's nothing so dark as when the lights go out, and the only thing that we can do is grope for something to hang on to, hoping that it's secure. My experience in that room when I fell over that bench, there was nothing there for me to hang on to. It was a stupid thing to do, wasn't it? But I learnt as a result of it. There are people in this world who are searching for something that will make a change to their lives. And we have the answers as Christians. Light and dark is often portrayed in lots of good and evil stories, isn't it? If you're a fan of Star Wars, you'll be aware of the dark side. There was a period in English history called the Dark Ages, which then led on to an age of enlightenment, when there were amazing transformations, discoveries. Light is used in the Bible to refer to godly understanding and a dynamic relationship with God, out of which a different kind of lifestyle flows. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we read, "He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." And the Bible teaches us that whereas we walked in darkness before we became Christians, now we are children of the light, and we are called to let his light shine, our light shine. May that be our experience as we trust more and more in Jesus Christ and learn more and more about him, that we will discover not only his words, but his deeds as well. And we might also be those who are recognized by people within this community, within people that we meet in our daily lives, through school, through work, as those who trust and follow Jesus Christ and find people who want to know more about him through us. Amen. We're going to share in a prayer now. It's going to appear on the screen, continuing our theme of light. Let's share this together. God of infinite mercy and grace, we have not seen ourselves the way you see us, beautiful and worthy and good. Forgive us and turn us back towards the light. We have not seen others the way you see them, loved and accepted and part of our family. Forgive us and turn us back towards the light. We have not seen your creation the way you see it, sacred and precious and in need of our care. Forgive us and turn us back towards the light. For when we have not lived in faith, for when we have not lived in hope, for when we have not lived in love, forgive us and turn us back towards the light. Thank you that you are the God of restoration. Restore us now in your wonderful light. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our light. Amen. We read in Psalm 116, "How shall I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." And in John 3:16 we read, "God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that everyone who has faith in him may not die, but have eternal life." One Corinthians 11, Paul records the institution of the Lord's Supper, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The Lord Jesus took bread and he broke it, And he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Then he took the cup and said, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As we take communion, if you're able, I would like to invite you to take a tea light from the back of the church, if you're happy to do that, and bring it forward and light it at the front, just as a symbol of light and a symbol of how much God has meant to you and how much you want Jesus to shine through in your life. So if you're happy to do that, I would suggest probably the adults rather than children as well. But tea lights at the back, just put them on the tray at the front. I will leave a match on the tray for you to use. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be living, shining sacrifices. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom. Shining lights, that our love may be your love, reaching into the life of the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We remember this morning in our prayers of intercession those who have been newly elected to our borough council and to our town council. Many for the first time. And we just pray, Lord, that you would grant each of them your wisdom. We pray for those known to you, those who share the faith that you have given, that they may be there to make a difference. We pray that you will bless each one of them, that you will go before them in the decisions that they need to make, that all that they do might be for the good of this borough and this town, because we ask it in your name. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing, Lord, the light of your love is shining.